up, Chicago? That's right. It is Monday, April the 10th, 2017, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from the West Side Studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. We have an outstanding show for you today. It is Missional Monday. Y'all ready for this? Five fascinating lessons from a secret guest in church worship services. You never know what people are thinking when they're in your church service, so you might want to pay attention to this one. This one is going to be good. But in the studio, as always, it's your boy, your host, Mr. Daniel King, alongside my brother in ministry, the one, the only, the good Pastor Cornelius Parks. What's going on, sir?
What it really do?
Man, I'm excited to be here, man. It's Monday, man. It's the day after Sunday, and it's a good day, man. I'm excited. But look, y'all, let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are already listening on the line, then you've already dialed in. Just push 1, and you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you are on social media, so are we, simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to read those tweets live on the air. If you want to email the show, you can email us, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to hear from you that way. If you want to watch the live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. Do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Divine. You can find us there. If you want to watch the live stream, Facebook Live. Facebook Live is up and running. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. Again, Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us right there. Also, last but not least, the podcast. You can download the podcast. Simply go to your iTunes account, do a search for Taking Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and we will be glad to have you follow us and download those podcasts. Man, good. This is good time, man. We're coming off our third-year anniversary from Friday.
Yeah, man.
Show was crazy.
Yeah, man.
What you even did to the microphone?
God, it just went.
Man, but it was a good show, man. I'm excited about it, man. How you doing, Doc?
Man, I'm good, man. Long weekend, but a good one. Yeah. Long but good weekend.
Yeah. We'll figure that out on the break.
Long but good. Had a good time.
Yeah.
I'm sore.
Yeah, so you already back to playing softball with the bad groin.
Yeah, man. And it's not.
How smart is that, Pastor Pop?
Terrible. Because the groin is not healed at all, man.
But you still out there trying to...
I ain't gonna lie, man. I was out there, man.
And I'm gonna ask the question again. How smart is that, Pastor Parks?
Dumb, dumb king.
You wearing that K.A. side jacket that you wear all the time? You need a DFD jacket. Because you ain't following directions of your... DFD didn't follow directions of the doctor.
Man, you ain't lying, man. I thought it'd be better, but...
No, man. Don't work that way.
It don't, bro. you ain't lying there. I can't even dispute that one. It ain't, man. Man, I was out there, man. I said, oh, my God. Listen, here. I had fun. It was good to be out there with the fellas. But Lord have mercy. I hit a ball and I hit a shot. Nice shot between short and short center.
Okay.
Got through there. Maybe. I'm running. I said, oh.
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah. Reality set in.
No. No. But then it didn't stop me because now I was only going to try to play one game, but because this preseason that we were short players. I had to play
preseason. That means the games he was playing didn't even count. But I ain't gonna say nothing. Go ahead.
It's still money game.
It's preseason.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. You're right.
I'm just saying it's preseason. You don't get no kudos for playing preseason.
You're right.
In the words of Allen Iverson, it's practice, man.
Right.
Then it's practice. I'm about practice.
It's all about practice.
You're out there tearing the rest of your growing up for
man,
practice.
For real.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. It was good. Then, man. All right, I talked about yesterday. Yesterday was good, man.
Yeah.
Sunday service, priest riding through your pain.
Oh wow!
No, a painful ride.
A painful ride.
Yeah,
okay.
You know,
okay.
Everybody looked at Jesus riding on a donkey,
yeah,
colt,
mm-hmm,
and not knowing that he was riding a painful ride to his destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in life, we gotta ride a painful ride to get,
mm-hmm,
to our destiny.
Mm.
Something that others don't see that is painful to us.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're looking at the outward, but on the inside, we know that there's a lot of discrepancy.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus even knew that as they was using the palm saying, Hosanna, Hosanna,
yeah,
he knew his enemies,
yeah,
there,
yeah, right along with him,
to try to investigate,
yeah,
interrogate,
yeah,
use that evidence against him. So
absolutely.
It was good, man. How was it for you, man?
Man, yesterday was, man.
You were back in the saddle, man.
Dude, let me tell you something, man. I hadn't, you know, in case y'all didn't know, I haven't preached since December, the first Sunday in December.
Uh-huh.
That was the last time I got a chance to actually to preach, even though I consider what I do 3 days a week on here preaching.
Yeah.
But I hadn't had a chance to stand in anybody's pulpit.
Wow.
And preach since the first Sunday in December. And I have to say, man, I was anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night, I could barely sleep.
Oh, wow.
I was anxious. I was nervous. I was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, but I still get nervous preaching. I mean, I think the minute I stand up to preach and I ain't nervous, I think I need to sit down. That's just me.
But good thing. Once you start doing it every Sunday,
yeah,
honestly, that part,
mm-hmm,
will leave.
Oh, okay.
It will. I mean, no matter.
Right.
You know, a lot of guys say, well, if I ain't nervous, I feel it's all of me and all that. Nah.
Okay.
Some things you're going to get used to.
Okay. So, man, I'm sitting there like, okay, man, I had an awesome time yesterday. Let me say this real quick, man. To the people over at Greater Union Missionary Baptist Church over here on the west side of Chicago, those were some hospitable people. Man, treated you like you was family when you walked in the door.
Good.
It was amazing, man. It was a good time. The deacons over there, man, them cats had me cracking up before the service started. It was some good guys. You know, they're all older cats. I mean, not one young one amongst the mix, man. You know, I was like a baby over there. But it was good, man. Then I had people, man, who said they remembered me when I was a baby and my mama's. Because, you know, Kingdom came from Greater Union.
Wow.
So I had people say, man, I remember when your mom was, when you was a lap baby.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow. That's what I said. I'm like, what? So, you know, I'm sitting there, man, and it was just a good time, man. It was a good time, man. What they're doing is now they have their services. They'll be upstairs next week, but they have their services downstairs because Good Union is huge.
I know.
It's huge.
I know.
And I couldn't actually recall the last time I had actually been in Great Union, and so I didn't really remember anything about it.
Okay.
So they had their services. They've been having their services downstairs in the winter to save money because, you know, heating a big old building like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and so that was, so I came in, when I saw that, I'm like, oh, okay, that, you know, it threw me a little bit because I'm like, okay, all right, I'm good. But, man, they went on with the service, man, and got up, man, and my subject for yesterday was take me to see Jesus. That was take me to see Jesus, and I pretty much, it was done from the standpoint of we can't just tell people about Jesus. We want to be like the Greeks. We want to demand to see him. When people come to your church service, they need to be introduced to Jesus. They need to, your programs need to be about Jesus. And one of the things that I said was we gotten so caught up in our traditions and our dogmas that we tend to forget to preach Jesus. We preach 8 steps to get through this and 5 steps to get through this, but we don't preach Jesus anymore. So, man, it was a good time, man. I had a good time.
Man, you said something that's so key, and I like that because,
mm-hmm,
truth of the matter, and I believe we mentioned this on the show,
yeah, mm-hmm,
that as Christians,
mm-hmm,
our job is to preach more Jesus,
yeah,
than it is God.
Yeah, yeah, and stop preaching, you know, one of the things I love, man, I told him, I said, look here, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw,
yeah,
men, not if you lift your church,
exactly,
up.
Exactly.
But not if you lift up your denomination,
exactly,
not if you lift up your traditions. He says, if you lift me up,
yeah,
you know, so, it was a good time, man. I'm thankful, man, to all of my KBC people that came out to support, that came over, man. And,
really?
And yeah, man, it was a good time, man. I was really appreciative of them to show up, man. It was a good time. As always, it was good. It was, it was, I mean, it was, it was, it was, It was amazing. I enjoyed it. Big shout out to the Pendleton family over there in big shout out to the Pendleton family that was over there. The deacon, that's the chairman of the deacon board. I understand we got somebody on the line already. Oh, let's pray, Lord. Yes, Pastor Henderson.
God bless your bones on this morning, this evening, tonight.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. To the ministers of God, I just wanted to, Pastor Paul, God bless you, you know, praise the Lord, we'll talk. But now they, I want y'all to know that their name is Larry.
Who played the music? I didn't do that. I didn't do that. That wasn't me.
What's her name for today? I'm not sure.
You know what? That's a good question. Hold on. Let me confirm that for you. She ain't got one. She ain't in there. I don't know. She just signed you today, I guess. Go ahead.
Well, you know I do have. Give me a minute. I do have some friends over there at the Greater Union.
Uh huh.
And they said you tried to do your little thing on yesterday. You know, I know you don't have no hand.
I'm trying to get you, you know, to work with a brother, help a brother out, so I can give you a little hoop. But you ain't trying to help a brother, you know. I'm just
Well, you know what? Listen, we will be having hooping 101 classes on Wednesdays on our show. Yeah, everybody read. Everybody, please, if you will. Just want to come on, sir, real quickly to let everyone know that Bishop Al Reese's mother's funeral will be tomorrow at New Home tomorrow from 10 to 11 to 12. And, of course, we'll be on the show, praise the Lord, discussing what's going on. I also want to thank you all so much for including myself. Tanja, thank you so much for including us in the celebration of our 30th anniversary for TTLO. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you.
Oh, God. Well, we so appreciate you calling in, Dr. Willie, dude.
Well, yes, and God bless your bones here. Now, listen, you all continue with the show. Be good, because, you know, our major show will be today. For the caveat appearance, you know. So
Oh, God.
Come on
yeah.
in the room.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right, be good. Bye.
You take care, sir. Goodbye. That was the one, the only, the good Cardinal decided to join us for a few moments.
Man, the Cardinal, baby.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, man, it was like I said, it was great, man. It felt good. It felt good. So, And you know you know I don't look for kudos and back people pats on the back of people, but when the deacons and a couple of members say how available are you, and I said you let me know when you need me, and I'll be back.
That means you was working. Yeah, if the deacons and the elders of the church come to you and
when they ask the question at the end, say, look, man, if we call on you, I said whatever you need. I said, whatever you need, you let me know.
There now, man.
They're there. They've been without a pastor since December, since the end of December. And I think they're just, like, going through the process of feeling that whole thing out. I don't know, because I didn't ask if they've started their search process yet. Don't have a clue.
Okay.
Didn't ask. So, hey, but it was great, man. Again, big shout out to the Greater Union family, man. It was a good time. It was a good time.
Man,
and I heard my brother came over here and preached up a storm. Devon.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't make it back over here, but I think Tanya made it back over here, and a couple of other people who came over from Danielle. A lot of those guys who came to see me, they shot over here because we got out quickly at Greater Union. I wasn't mad. Yeah. Because they went through that service by the time I think I took the podium at, was it 12? 11:45, something like that?
Okay.
Yeah, it was done. You know, I ain't up there for number 25 minutes, about 20, 25 minutes. That's all.
So they got a chance to get here.
So they came back here. So I think they caught, I don't know if he was up by the time they got here, but he was already up. But, you know, but my understanding was he did well. Over here as well. So that, I mean, it was good. It was a good time all the way around for all, I'm assuming everybody from the TTLO preaching family.
Yeah,
it was a good time all the way around.
Yeah, man,
so.
It was, man, I enjoyed it yesterday, man.
Yeah.
Messages that I'm not gonna say a theme because
mm-hmm.
I did preach the Palm Sunday message.
Yeah.
But it was really good because there was a lot of things in the text.
Yeah.
That just blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, just really blew my mind. And I think that we as a church, we as people,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord is showing His grace.
Yeah, yeah.
In preaching, man, and I just say keep preaching, man. Just keep preaching, keep doing
yeah.
it, man.
Man, real quick, we have to give some acknowledgments and some prayers, rather, man. You guys are all, those of you who are listening on Friday, we were on the air roughly about 1:15 or so. Y'all heard shots ring out while we were all up here in the studio. And, five people were shot. One was killed right here on the corner of Lake and Central.
Yep.
And I didn't look over there today. I guess when I leave out, I'll drive over there. I know the glass and stuff was still out there on Saturday. They didn't even have even cleaned up anything. I mean, it looked like a scene from a movie.
Wow.
The gloves that the evidence technicians were, they were still laying on the ground.
Yeah. One of the guys got shot was my stepdaughter's
yeah.
friend.
You told me that. Yeah.
So, man, it's rough, man.
It is, man, and it's really sad. I talked to Jody. And Jody was like, based off of what he knew, he said, this is not going to be the end.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the end. So this happened before we left to go out to eat.
Yep.
When I came back, because I dropped Devon off, when I came back, everything was still taped off. And then as I dropped him off, police cars came flying past us to go further down Lake, further down Central.
Wow.
Because something else happened. I don't know if it was a retaliatory thing or what, but
wow.
Man, it's just so much, man. It really is. It's more than anybody should have to deal with, man. And it takes me back to let's speak to the people in the room,
okay.
And then we can move forward. Real quick, Kathleen Savon, God bless you. Marissa Williams, bless you. Yolanda King, God bless you. Leslie Kelly, I see you. The good Dr. Henderson, we see you. Sherry Westmoreland, Tanya Williams. I wonder if Tanya going to be okay today, Devon in here. And I had to throw that out there. And Felicia Diva on the move, God bless you. But one of the things that brings back to mind was we had our community meeting last week, and the guy the month before, he was talking about the fact that our people in our communities are suffering from some sort of post-traumatic syndrome, PTSD.
Wow.
Because they've seen, they're living in this area where people are just dying all around them. People are we don't like to use the term war zone, but when you're constantly walking across areas where people have just been shot, what else would you call it?
Wow.
When you have to cross by, that scene out there on Saturday, because we were still looking at it on Saturday. Emma Mitch was over there giving a press conference and all of that. But that scene on Saturday was still, people still had to walk by.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you walking by and you see glass on the ground with blood on it.
Wow. Wow. You know, it's rough, man, and the crazy part about what's taking place, there's really no true solution.
No.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about it and say,
mm-hmm.
okay, let's try this, try that, but man, this is something that I believe totally a God control issue that man.
I think the only thing that we can do as a church, we as God's people, is to get on the is to get out on the forefront of this thing and stay on the forefront. Yeah, I saw Tanya Williams says, I sure would have loved to hear Devon's voice on this beautiful day. Yeah, Devon is at work.
Hey, believe it or not, let me say this. I got a couple of calls.
Uh-huh.
Said, who is Devon? Like, where he come from? I'm not lying. Like, I'm sitting here. I said, oh, okay, man, listen here.
In the words of the good cardinal, you still got it.
You still got it. Yeah.
Oh, God, that was a good time, man. That was a good time. But, yeah, man, so it's so much, man. I'm I'm just glad, you know, I'm glad nobody else was hurt. There were so many other shootings over the weekend. It was absolutely, and you know, and I was talking to me and Tanya was talking about this the other day, and I was like, I said, you know, it's not even summertime yet, and she was like, well, don't say that because you know you kind of predicting the saying things are going to be bad, and it's not that you want to say that, but it's like we unfortunately we know our people.
Oh, you're looking at reality.
Yeah, yeah, we know our people, and sometimes it's kind of hard. Is it charging?
No, I get it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sometimes it's kind of hard for our people, man, to, you know, it's like that freedom of being out and enjoying what should have been a wonderful weekend. Friday was nice out.
Yeah.
Saturday was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Sunday was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And we just cannot, because of all of this, because of all of this craziness and foolishness in our city, we can't even enjoy it, man.
You know, I think we as parents too, we as leaders,
mm-hmm.
conquerors, need to start strategically
mm-hmm.
planning different things for kids to do.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, they can't play on a block anymore. They can't play in the front of their yard.
Yeah, you can't even play in the backyard.
And you can't play in the backyard. So now kids gonna get deprived from a nice summer because of the violence that's taking and it's reality.
Yeah.
I mean,
the days of being able to play hide and go seek outside and Mr. Freeze and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's I mean it's unfortunate, but it has I don't want to sound defeatist, but it has the appearance that it's done right now.
And then I believe you made this point
mm-hmm.
Friday
mm-hmm.
that most of the killings are taking place in the daytime.
It's happening in broad daylight now.
Yeah.
You don't see instances of you watch the news, you don't see, well, you know, at 2:30 in the morning, such and such so was shot. Now it's like 10 a.m. 9 a.m., 2:30 in the afternoon. It's like this stuff is just happening over and over again, and it's getting closer and closer to home.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, in the last year, and I'm just being honest with you all, in the last year, we've had at least 3 shootings on that corner on Central and Lake, not counting the ones on Pine and Lake. And then we've had one right here on Fulton and Central. And then we had one right here behind our church in the alley. You know, and while our people were in here having choir rehearsal, actually they had just dismissed and were about to walk out the door when the shooting started, and they had to run back in, and they were forced to stay in the church almost till 11 o'clock while they collected bullets and evidence. I mean, it's just it's so ongoing, man, and it's a wonder why our people are still in the why our people have settled into some sort of depression and everything. But I said this yesterday, man, in my sermon. I said this to the people yesterday. I said, is it no wonder why so many folk in the church are depressed and oppressed?
Yeah.
Because the church has given over so much of its power back to the world, and we can't even take care of ourselves, let alone go out and serve a community that's in need.
That's the key word, power.
Yeah. It's lacking.
We're lacking our power, and we don't operate in our
authority. We do not. We do not. We do not operate in the authority that God has given us because you know why? Because like Adam, we gave it up.
We gave it up.
We gave up the power. We gave up the authority because we just want to go along to get along.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want, you know, it's churches right now that are in this same community with us over here in Austin that won't show up at an event, won't do anything outside, won't do anything because they want to go along to get along because they don't want to be on the wrong side of the city,
mm-hmm.
but then they don't also want to be on the wrong side of the people.
Yes.
So they just say, you know what, we're just going to stay in the house.
Exactly.
We don't stay in the house, and we're going to do internet this and internet that, and y'all.
You know, before we go, I want to give a big shout out to Pastor Bobby Strickland.
Okay, who that is? Who that is?
He's New Life on the west side. His wife passed yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Yesterday morning before service.
Oh, God.
He's part of the group ISI, Iron Sharpened Iron.
Okay.
And,
my God.
You know, we all getting ready for morning worship and our morning prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And to receive the text message that his wife made her transition.
Wow.
So we're praying for that family as well. So many deaths are taking place, and not just the shooting, killing, violence, but this cancer thing, kidneys, and all that stuff. So we're covering him. He just sent the message, and
mm-hmm.
I just read it,
mm-hmm.
Telling all the brethren,
mm-hmm.
make sure you hug your wife.
Wow.
And tell them that you love them.
Wow.
You never know when it's going to be the last time you get a chance to give them that hug.
That's huge.
Yeah, that is. So we're covering that, brother. We're covering him.
That's, you know what, man? It is so much people, there's so much death going on right now.
It is.
And like I said yesterday, man, where is the deliverance power? Where is the healing?
Yeah.
Where is the healing power that used to be in the church? Where is the deliverance power? Reggie Royal said this the other day, man, on a post, and I almost threw my computer.
Yeah, I read that post too.
And when he said, if your church ain't growing, maybe your church shouldn't be in existence.
Or maybe you weren't called to start
it. Maybe you weren't called to start it. My God. That thing just did something to me.
Yeah. to be honest with you, it makes you want to assess your ministry when you start seeing all this is taking place in your region. If all this violence was taking place in 75th Street around my camp, it'd make me want to look at the ministry at large.
Successful ministries take weekly or monthly or bi-monthly assessments.
Yeah.
They're always going back and looking at to see what they've done and what they could possibly do better.
Mm-hmm.
It's the unsuccessful ministries that just pull their church calendar up and say, okay, where we going? What are we doing? Okay, what time is it? It's time for this. We're going to do that. It's time. No looking back. Yeah. No assessing whether or not it was successful.
Yeah.
Not checking to see how many souls came to Christ based on your event.
That's
if you're doing the same event over and over again, and ain't nobody being saved, ain't nobody coming to Christ, what's the real purpose of your event?
And that's true.
Y'all glorifying each other. God ain't getting no praise and glory in that mess.
That's true, man. And to be honest with you, I'm tired of doing repetitive stuff that's not reaching or engaging. I was talking to the brethren last night when we was together, and I was asking, we throw it off each other. What are you doing for Easter? What are some of the things that you're doing to reach the lost? And because most of our churches, we aim for those who found.
Yeah.
Our
churches aren't geared. Watch this, my God. Our churches are not geared for the unchurched.
Yeah, exactly.
Our churches are based on those who already know the Lord.
Exactly.
So that's why you think your church ain't growing when the only people you're trying to attract are people who already know the Lord.
Exactly. And then, we're this weekend, Saturday, we're doing a flashlight Easter egg hunt.
Right. You said that. You mentioned that on Friday. Yeah.
It was amazing. I started seeing some of the churches that was opposed to it, like last year. Now they're doing it, which is good. I'm not knocking it.
You know, here's the thing. I've never been opposed to, you have some preachers and pastors who are so dogmatic. You ain't doing no Easter eggs hunting this church.
Yeah.
You ain't doing that. Easter ain't about no Easter bunny. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the deal. If you want to do the Easter bunny thing, do the Easter bunny thing.
Right.
If you're teaching your kids about Christ and who he is, the Easter Bunny will have no effect.
None whatsoever.
The Easter Bunny will have no effect. No more than Santa Claus.
Yeah.
If you tell your children the reason we celebrate Christmas is the birth of Christ, and you still decide you want to do the whole Christmas decoration and Christmas tree, then guess what? That stuff is going to have ill effect.
Yeah.
But if you're not telling your kid who Christ is and nothing about what he is, then your kid don't think Easter is about a doggone bunny.
Now, my thing, if I have the capacity, I'll bring a donkey in and let the kids ride. I'm being honest. Like, I've seen this
from a
Caucasian
church
this year.
It's been done.
They said it like a...
they did the whole Palm Sunday thing.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, man, that's awesome, but I don't have the capacity for that.
Yeah.
And then I don't know where to find one at, too.
I'm sure you can rent one.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't now.
I'd be concerned about the donkey having a little accident walking down the aisle.
Yeah, I know. But no,
dropping
I think they had them outside, like in a park.
Not in there. You know, there was that one video where that dude rode his horse down the middle of the aisle in the church. Did you see that video?
Oh, my God, no.
Yeah, he rode in on a horse.
No way.
Yes, he did.
Was he talking about the Book of Revelation?
I don't remember what it was, but he came in like.
White horse, pale
on
horse.
A white horse.
Wow.
Down the center of the aisle, doing a little bit too much. I think that's a little bit too much.
Yeah,
and all I could think of, that church must have had just the first floor only, because I can't understand how he would have made up these stairs.
Oh my God!
Because I was joking with my people over here. I was like, man, I should try that. They think they'll put me out. I said, yeah, they wouldn't even let me in the door.
Oh my God!
But anyway, it's got to be something that we can do. Here's the deal. You don't have to do anything large.
Uh-huh.
You just need to do it well.
Exactly. Exactly.
You don't have to do it large.
Exactly.
It just needs to be done well. The problem is we want to do everything, and because we set out to do everything, we go ahead and do everything, and everything ends up mounting to nothing.
Yeah.
But you spent a lot of money. You wasted a lot of resources because, hey, it's on the calendar.
Yeah.
We got to do it. It's on the calendar.
Right.
We got to do it. No, you don't. No, you don't.
That's good.
No, you don't. I don't care if much this. I don't care if y'all been celebrating Men's Day for 42 years.
Yeah.
If Men's Day is going to be a joke, then maybe we need not do it. Women's Day, the same way. If you know, same thing with family and friends day, man. It's like, and I didn't even realize it. I think it snuck up on us, too. Our family and friends day celebration here at the church is the Sunday after Easter.
Wow, that's deep, man.
It's the Sunday after Resurrection Sunday. So it's like, wait a minute, where did it come from?
This
liquid
zip it.
Yeah,
that's a bit. That's rough. Because
it is. It is.
You have two campaigns going
it
on
is.
At the same time.
It is. So you know what I'm saying? But again, now Family and Friends Day, you know, like I told you about the pastor out there at Progressive Church. He told his congregation, he told his people. He said, don't. He said, don't bring people out here who are already saved to church.
Yeah.
Don't on Easter.
Yeah.
Don't. You said, you bring me some unchurched folks. He said, because I know y'all know them. You know, same thing with these other and Family and Friends Day. That's the day, really, that you ought to bring people to church that you do not know. Now, part of the problem is it's hard trying to invite people to a place that you ain't all that comfortable with yourself.
Yeah. Yes, Lord.
I say I don't want to step on nobody's toes,
yes, Lord.
But I'm just telling the truth.
Yeah.
If you ain't happy about the place yourself, who you really gonna invite?
And that's a good point.
And that's a leadership deal. Leadership needs to recognize that. Well, how come y'all don't invite people to church?
That's a valid point.
Ask a simple question. Have you looked around? I mean, this is for any church, because I know people are going to say, I'm talking about my own. But get over y'all self. Let me see who's on here, because, you know, be some spies. What's that thing about spies in the camp? But
I'm watching you.
Right. But no, it's like people always saying, man, you know, how come y'all don't invite nobody? How come y'all don't invite nobody? And then you have to ask the question, you know, and I want to ask people so bad about, you know, especially in certain churches. I've been in churches where, you know, I know why they don't invite people. It's like, because they taking a look around.
Yeah.
It's like, if your house is nasty, you don't invite people there. Well,
yeah.
You need to try to clean up something.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's like, I'm good. You know, I mean.
That's true.
I'm over it, man. I'm over it. I'm again, you know. Real quick, I do need to say something again about the. I think I mentioned it at the onset. Those people at Great Union yesterday, man, they were so hospitable yesterday. You know, they had had a parking space for a brother when I pulled up out front. I pulled up, and wait, the brother that worked at Great Union used to live across the alley back here.
Oh,
so
wow.
When he walked out, he said, man, get on in here. I was like, dude, what you doing here? He was like,
wow.
Man, I've been running at this church for 25 years.
Wow.
I had no idea.
Wow.
He used to live right in the building behind the church.
Wow.
And we used to talk because he'd be out there washing his car in the alley.
Wow.
And we was over, and I had no idea, man.
That sounded like they treated you like.
Dude, I felt, man, it was awesome. It was, it was awesome.
I'm prepared to mention this. Friday night, my home church, which is Renewance in Christ,
okay.
And they're no longer established. It's Abundant Life now.
Okay.
Pastor D'Antoine Wright.
Okay.
But my father in ministry is Pastor Billy Jeans.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a reunion.
Quiet thing. You did mention that. You did mention it. Oh, no, we were at dinner.
Yeah,
at lunch. Right.
I went matter of fact, right from Greater Union, Gospel Temple.
Okay.
On Damon and.
Yeah.
Washington.
Washington.
Yeah, Damon and Washington.
Well, yeah, that's right there, because Metropolitan is further down.
Damon and Washington.
Yeah.
And Pastor Beckham.
Okay,
church.
Okay.
Well, I tell you, man, listen, here.
So when is the reunion?
The 29th.
Of April?
Of April.
Wow. Wow, so you just did the Reggie Roll and Judah reunion.
Oh, my God.
Now you're finna go do this reunion. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I see you.
But, man, listen, here.
What? It's a lot of...
Oh, my God. Man, that brother Juan got us singing all these choirs, all these community choir songs, singing high and all that. I said, man, are you serious?
So you're going to come in here hollering about your groin hurting again?
Man, my groin, my neck, my throat, my back, my arm, my toe, my head, my ear, my eye. Man, listen here. I'm going to be hitting it all around.
Hold on. Did you have to watch the Stellar Awards last night? No. No, you missed it. You didn't.
Wasn't going to watch.
You really?
No, I don't. You know, I people that that's there for the live recording.
Okay.
And they give you input.
Right.
I don't want to watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a big Stella's man.
Okay.
Because it's rigged. I know that for a fact.
You're talking about the award process.
See,
I don't watch it for the award process. I watch it for the singing. Yeah, I watch it for the singing.
Or the drama.
Or the drama.
Because there's always somebody going to have something on that is just not right.
Yeah.
Somebody going to have a hair that's play too much.
Because big shout out to it's my girl listening, Janice. My girl Jamie, she used to do the makeup for Mary from Erica Campbell,
uh-huh.
And for her sister, was it Gugu? She got some weird name. Y'all personally, I don't know her real name. Gugu Atkins or something. But she do makeup, but she hasn't been doing it because she just had a baby.
Okay.
And you could tell.
Okay.
Because Erica from Mary, her eyelashes, one of them was just kind of leaning to the side like this. Look like her.
Do her eyelash need a V8?
Man, is your right eye asleep? What in the world? I'm like, oh my God, like, what's wrong with her? I thought it was good. And I'm like, well, shit, because I kept saying, that's a lot of makeup. And then I'm like, no, that's just that one big eyelash.
Man.
And I'm like, ain't nobody, so I kept thinking after commercial break, you know, when they go change clothes and all that stuff, but they were going to get it fixed. I guess they thought that was all right.
Man, listen here. Hey, that's, I think, and women, I know I get in trouble, but I just got to say it.
Here we go.
I think that's just the going thing.
What's that? The big old goofy eyelashes?
Game banging eyelashes. Your wife's Lord of one side. They just leaning. You need a
V8. I was like,
a V8. You leaning too much. You need to get straight.
It was crazy. Now I'm sitting here watching this. I'm like, okay. And then she had on some outfits, man. You know, it was. I'll say this. What's my man's name from Youth for Praise? JJ Harrison,
mm-hmm.
And Youth for Praise. They rocked last night. They was good. But the best parts of the whole thing was at the very end. Travis Greene, Jason, what is his name? Is it Jason Nelson? Jonathan Nelson.
But they brothers.
Right, Jonathan Nelson.
Okay.
Well, who's got to sing Fall in Love with Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
Right, that dude. And one more cat. And Israel Houghton.
Okay.
The four of them did an acoustic version of all of their top songs together.
Oh, wow.
Nothing but guitars. Man, that thing was...
It was hot.
And the dude, who's the dude that said Made Away? Is that Travis Greene? Is that... You Made Away?
Yeah.
Man, that brother, he took that whole thing. He took that whole thing, man, and just... Man, I was sitting on my couch about to go all the way in.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that's what I watch. If I watch it for that...
Did anybody have on a tight suit?
Kurt
didn't have on that tight...
No, Kurt didn't have on a tight suit last night.
Really?
And they didn't show Byron Kane because I know he had on one, but I saw him from the head up.
Frat to be having on some.
Yeah, that is your frat. Yeah. You need to pray for your boy.
His jackets be bell bottom. His suit jackets is straight bell bottom. They just be floating everywhere.
You need so much that.
It's above his waist.
You need so much that.
He struggles, man. Like. Byron Kane's got one of the craziest rhymes that I ever heard. He brought me out just to bring me in. Lord have mercy. I'm still trying to figure that out.
That's when you're writing a song and you can't think of nothing else to say.
Nothing else. Yeah. I mean, nothing else.
That's pretty much. It was a line he needed
man,
to fill in.
Hey, I tell you. Your suit jacket is straight bell bottom. Like, you really.
That's your fact, though.
Man, he is, though. But, man.
That's your fact.
You know, when you listen here. You can't do it like that, man.
That's your friend, man.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, I'm your people's, man.
Yeah. He is.
Let's see. Tanya Williams says, until we can see the bigger picture and look at things from God's perspective, we will continue to lose our loved ones to violence. Every time one's blood is being shed, it shouldn't push anyone further from the Lord, but closer in his presence. She says,
the family members that...
Oh, yeah, the family members that are taking these losses must understand that God is trying to tell them something. God is not pleased with the corruption of this world. This was not a part of his plans for his people. Many of these family members are suffering and ignoring their calling because they selfishly refuse to die in the flesh. Wow. She says, this is all about... this is all about teamwork. God assigned everyone a position in his kingdom. So when there is no covering over our family, the enemy is going to come in and do what he does best, kill, steal, and destroy.
That's what the word says.
Wow.
That's it.
That's it. That's crazy. Look, y'all, we're going to take a quick break so I can fix my brother Mike over here because everything's been rolling around like it's on.
Right.
Yeah, it's doing something special. But we're going to take a real quick break. When we get back, y'all, we're going to continue the conversation and we're going to jump into today's topic. It's going to be good. You don't want to miss it. Five fascinating lessons from a secret guest in church worship services. We're going to be right back, y'all. Y'all stay blessed. Stay blue, stay out of trouble. We're going to be right back, y'all. TTL. Oh,
I love worship music, but
yeah.
Something about this old gospel that I can never get away from.
Chicago Mass Choir.
They got to say first.
They closed out. They first started last night. They closed out the Stellar Awards last night, man. And that man, look, She was on stage with Donnie McClurkin, that lead singer from Chicago, man. She didn't care at all. She's like, man, look, give me that mic.
That's right.
And took that thing over. Big shout out to Chicago Mass, man.
Definitely first I heard that.
Man, I was like, oh my God. They was getting it in. Sister girl was hitting them notes. Donnie McClurkin came up and tapped her on the shoulder and said, you better stop. Yeah, man. So yeah, big shout out to them, man. So yeah, it was good. It was good. So anyway, yeah, we got this great article, right? We're gonna jump right into this thing. That way we can make sure we get all of this good stuff we got going. As soon as I find the articles, I had it. There we go. Yeah, it says 5 fascinating lessons from secret guests in church worship services. 5 fascinating lessons from secret guests in church worship services. This is just interesting, man, because you never know how people feel when they're in your church. You don't know who, some people have guessed. It's just like, I would take it like this. It's kind of like, restaurant critics never tell the restaurant that they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
You never know they've been in your restaurant. Mm-hmm. Watch this until you read it in the newspaper.
Listen.
Or until you see it online. Go ahead.
Before we get into this.
Go ahead.
When you just hit something. When I was the general manager at Chicago Home and Chicken and Waffle, there was a restaurant critic from Channel 7 News.
Okay.
That came in.
Was it the Hungry Hound?
No, Hungry Hound, I think, is 9.
No, he's trying to sell something. He's a critic, but he probably didn't. He does.
Maybe that was him, though.
Okay.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And we didn't know. Mm-hmm. And so happily,
mm-hmm.
this particular day, I don't know if because he Caucasian.
Mm-hmm. Kind of stuck out.
Yeah, he stuck out.
Uh-huh.
And to God be the glory, the staff was on point.
Mm.
The hospitality, because I'm going to be honest with you. They got some decent food, but sometimes the staffing is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And the service is not all that because it's busy. It's busy.
Okay.
So this one particular day now, they were superb. Like,
mm-hmm.
woo. And so the owner, which is Donnell Johnson, he's seen it. The man did an article.
Wow.
And we remember this day because he stuck out.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't
mm-hmm.
busy, but he was pretty much the only Caucasian in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you never know who comes to your establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know. And I often tell people in the restaurant business, treat every customer like they are royalty.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to treat one better than the next.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know who that person is that come in and can do a matter of fact. They have these, what you call those, reviews.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
They have,
right.
They can rate you.
Yeah.
How many stars. Or,
right. Right.
And a lot of restaurants get poor reviews.
Yes.
Because we tend to more different group of people than we do our own.
We treat people
differently.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I believe that this is going to be good because I seen this in the church,
mm-hmm.
and I often use the illustration about a drunk man coming to church, and
mm-hmm.
He was pushed to the back.
Yeah, yeah.
And here come another man right behind him.
Mm-hmm.
They escorted him to the front.
Wow.
Because he was suited up and booted up and looking good.
Mm-hmm.
Moral of the story, that drunk man receive salvation.
Wow.
The man who was all groomed was there for sure. Just walked right out.
Yeah.
You never know.
We have to get out of this habit of, it's just like next week, yesterday was Palm Sunday. People were probably a little more friendly than they normally are.
Yeah.
The following Sunday, this coming Sunday is Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah.
So we're going to be real extra friendly on Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah.
And then, and again, it's about the programs. My question is, how do you treat people when they show up on your church on Thursday, Sunday, when there's no special program going on?
Right.
See, now, I've been to churches where there's nothing going on, and they treated me wonderful. It wasn't a special day, because that's what they've been taught to do. That's what they do every time, all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is good. So you never know how people are going to act when they come into you or who's coming to visit you. Because watch this, churches. We can be so caught up. It's kind of like you've heard the saying, be careful, you might be entertaining angels.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you never know the very person that you're church is cold towards might be the very one that God is trying to send to you to help you out with a situation. Could be a resource, could be something that they're coming to do, but because of your lackadaisical effort or friendliness towards them, then all of a sudden we'll recognize that those people will turn around and leave, and we'll find out after the fact that you missed out on something. So let's get right into this, man. Five fascinating lessons. They're both mixed. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, because I can see the camera is bad, so I know that if the camera's bad, then the sounds get bad. I'm not sure what's going on, y'all. That's a Comcast issue. Hopefully, it corrects itself shortly. But let's jump right into today's conversation. Let's jump right into it. He says this again. This is the five fascinating lessons from a secret guest in church worship services. He says this: the guest showed up, but they never returned. He says, has that ever happened in your church? You speak with someone who is visiting for the first time. You try to be friendly, but you never see them again. At times, you wonder why they never returned. He says, I just read Greg Atkinson's new book, Secrets of a Secret Shopper. What made Greg's book stand out from similar books is his vocation. His ministry includes going into churches and reporting back his experience to the church. Wow. He is a secret guest. Mm-hmm. So when I read the book, I knew I was hearing directly from someone who had been there and done that. He says, there's no way I can cover all the insights I gleaned from this book in a simple blog post. Allow me then to address the key lessons I saw as vital for those who read TomRainer.com. This is going to be good, y'all. Number one, go for it, Doc.
There are 4 points of first impression before the guests ever enter the church building.
Mm-hmm.
They are in order: social media, mobile site, website, and the parking lot. How much attention is your church giving these four areas? How many potential guests never show up because of the first three? Wow. Now, here, because of social media have taken
it's huge. Mm-hmm.
And I was saying this to the team yesterday, how I believe it's vital and important to create a better social media ministry that will help market or even put out there that your church is in existence. One of the things that bothers me is when I see a lot of pastors saying, we got all these Facebook pastors and all that because we're marketing or projecting our ministry.
Absolutely.
You're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And so what happens if I don't have the quality that you have, I shouldn't be doing it.
No,
we all started from somewhere,
and
we all have to start from somewhere. And number one, if you don't never put your church out there, how would people know that you have a church or where your church is located?
Just by walking
by? No.
Yeah.
Your church.
I can tell you right now, walking by don't do no good.
It's not going to do any good,
man.
Because I'll tell you why. Yesterday, when I was getting out the car, going to church, a man that I have learned to meet about at least 5-6 months. He always walking by, and yesterday he finally said, "Rev, now Pastor, I never known this was a church."
Wow.
And the crazy part is, all he had to look up and see the church sign. People don't want to look up; they rather look and see what's going on within the gates. So if they see the gates closed all week long, Sunday service is irrelevant for them.
Church signs don't mean nothing.
It doesn't.
Let me tell y'all that right now.
It doesn't.
I don't care if you got a cardboard sign out front or a $30,000 sign out front.
Yeah.
It don't mean nothing if the folks don't actually see you out there in the community.
And then also this.
Come on, y'all. Y'all can let that go.
Yeah, this going to help a lot of people when I said this comment I'm about to make. It has to be more than a pastor marketing the church. If the pastor is the only one projecting the ministry, it makes it seem like it's all about him. And I'm being honest with you, which is not all about him. He's just trying to project to get the church out there.
Mm-hmm.
But if the members that's part of the church,
and
you make this comment and it hit home because I learned some members don't project or market their church because they're ashamed of their church.
You think about it like this, and I used John Hannah in my sermon yesterday because I was saying we need to be taking folks, you know, and it's no slight to him, but I kept saying when you ask a person what church they go to and they say I go to Hannah's church,
right?
You know, or I go to Meek's church.
That's a good point.
Or I go to that church,
that's
and it's like.
Point. That's a good point.
It's like, okay, and you know what I'm saying? It's like, well, you know, because for a long time, I didn't even know what the name of John Hanna's church was. Mm. I just knew it was Hanna's church. Mm. But I do say this for this reason, though. If people are out saying, oh, you should come to my church. John Hanna's church didn't just grow because John Hanna was on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
John Hanna's church grew because word of mouth went around. Word of mouth. His people invite people. His people are constantly bringing people to his church. Now, why? Probably because, for one, you get there, it's an experience. I've never been. I keep saying I'm going to go one Sunday, especially when I ain't got much to do. I'm going to go one Sunday and visit John Hanna's church and see what.
That was a mistake.
Yeah, I'm gonna go one Sunday and experience. I want to experience what a service is like at New. What is the name of the church?
New Life Covenant
Southeast. Right. I want to visit his church and see what it is. Pat Hicks just said this, and you're absolutely right, Pat Hicks. She says that's what our pastor teaches us. Sheep beget sheep. She says sheep beget sheep.
Uh-huh.
That's what she just said, which is so true. It's so true. I love that, man. But you got to go out and you have to tell people now, again, if your church ain't doing nothing, what are you going to show? And then, two, what part do you play in the church?
Yeah.
Because maybe you raise so much hell in the place. That's one of the reasons you don't tell nobody to come, because you don't want people to see you. Or, watch this, you're embarrassed to let people know that you're a Christian.
And, you know, another thing I'm finding out, too, because the Lord... For some reason, yesterday, the Lord dropped something in my spirit that I didn't want to receive.
Mm. Mm.
That so many people have a motive with coming to your church or belonging in your atmosphere. It's a motive. And I didn't know why. He dropped that in my spirit so hard yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I pretty much was wrestling with it. But then I received a text message today, this morning, and it almost confirmed some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes people are not going to market it because they want to make sure they get what they want before they are able to invite others, because no telling how long they're going to be around.
Wow. Yeah.
Some people, it's an in and out situation.
Yeah.
I'm only here.
Mm-hmm.
And truth of the matter, I'm going to show you something. You made something so key.
Mm-hmm.
You said, they said, this is Hannah Church, this is Meat Church, and this... No shade thrown.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to Salem...
Right. No. Go ahead.
I know some people only come to the church because of me.
Yeah.
And that's wrong.
Yeah.
I can't stand it.
I made the point to say that yesterday when I was preaching. We should not be going to anybody's church to seek out the pastor.
Yeah.
You go to meet Jesus. You bring people to that church to meet Jesus. That's the whole purpose of the morning worship service, is to get people. I said this yesterday. Make Jesus the center of attention at your church.
Yeah.
Lifting his name up will draw the people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're only talking about lifting up your church and lifting up all of this and all that, then your church ain't finna go nowhere. So you know, I do like the first part of this article. What he says, you know, social media. Now, here's the deal with social media. And any live broadcast of any church, whether you record live, whether you record it and then post it later, a lot of, and you know, you've seen it on, what is it, the free TV, on the, what is it, CAN TV?
Yeah.
You've heard it on 1390.
Yeah.
Some stuff sounds a mess. And some stuff looks an absolute mess.
It does.
I don't think you ought to broadcast anything that looks a mess.
Poor quality.
Meaning it was poorly prepared.
I agree.
You didn't. You could tell that it was something you just threw together.
That's good.
And I don't think you should do that. I'm sorry. I just don't believe because you're not presenting the best. You're not putting your church in the best possible light.
I agree.
So I think if, you know, and then if you don't have good people working around you, like, we can use this for an example. You mentioned Pastor Meek's church. Kudos to his media team.
Yeah.
Because they do an excellent job of not showing us, or trying not to show us, their empty seats.
Yeah, that's true. And believe it or not, if Meek's does that.
And some other churches.
If any mega church.
Yeah.
Because let me say this. Even Joel Osteen have empty seats.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Must be
yes.
way up there, though.
But they, yeah.
I'm saying, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, because he ain't there.
They, but they have.
He was missing 3,000. Only 28 showed up.
Right. They have a good enough team.
Right.
That's professional, that know how to.
Well, they got several camera angles. Most of our churches got one camera.
And one camera.
And that one camera going to show it all.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we going to show them 12 people on the left side and 32 on the right. So you know, maybe you don't broadcast that. You know, maybe in some cases, if you guys have wonderful, maybe your choir is not that great,
mm-hmm.
but you give great sermons.
Yeah.
Then maybe you're only on the broadcast the sermon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe you're only on the, have your cameraman zoom in on the preacher when he getting ready to take the pulpit, and go from there.
Hey, that's just like
because it's the preached word that's going to draw the people in.
I'm gonna get out of going live on Sunday morning because how my camera angle and I'm be honest.
I tried to tell this dude.
Yeah, but no.
Go ahead.
But you got people like my mom.
Yeah, who can't make it right. Right.
But then I don't want it to seem like it's all about me because when the choir.
Right.
I'm proud of my choir.
Right. Right.
Now,
but that's why you got to get. That's why I told you. You need to get somebody you trust.
That's the point.
And even if it's somebody from the outside that you can come in, man, look, I ain't trying to be funny because, you know, church folk is some funny acting people.
Yeah.
You could pay a crackhead $5 to come in there and hold your phone during the service. Just don't let them run out the door with you.
Yeah,
but, I mean, I'm just saying, you could pay a crackhead $5 and sit there and say, look, just hold this right here. And this,
this is the thing. I have members that go live. But they only go live for 15 seconds, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And so when you get into the heart or meat of the message.
That's why you need to have an in-house
media
person. Because you want people to see the best that your church has to offer.
Uh-huh.
And yes, when they show up, if they come, they're gonna see your flaws. But even if your flaws are presented in the way that you know what, we are putting our ad, you can tell when somebody's trying their best versus when they just hit it, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
In the words of Marshawn Lynch, I'm just here just so I don't get fined.
Yeah. That's hilarious. That's good.
That's good. Now, that wasn't nice. What? That wasn't nice. What, my crackhead comment? You can. Look here. Let me stop. Let's move on. I ain't fighting with you today, Tiny Williams. Or make me. I'll call Devon.
There you go.
Right. Number two. Go ahead.
Pastor. Parking is not only a first impression issue. It is a potential growth lid as well.
Mm.
Greg, citing Tim's Stevens, notes three clear growth lids.
Mm-hmm.
First of the three is parking.
Mm.
If guests have difficulty finding a parking spot,
mm-hmm.
they may decide not to come to church at all.
Yeah.
I have actually seen this reality when I was a church consultant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this. That's a yes and no.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
When I used to go out to New Life at the UIC.
Okay.
And sometimes you got to walk 3 to 4 or 5 blocks.
Because those parking lots,
because
the closer lots get full.
Exactly.
Right. And depending on what time you get there.
You don't hear people complain.
No.
About parking.
No.
Now, there is those who, some people
mm-hmm.
don't get the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Some churches, though, if you're not a church that's entertaining,
mm-hmm.
and I'm being honest with you,
mm-hmm.
you don't get that benefit of the doubt. You gotta dot every I across every T. I mean, if you got a parking lot around the corner,
mm-hmm.
you better provide a shuttle.
Something
to mm-hmm. accommodate these people.
Yeah.
If it was past mega church, because even in Meek's church.
Even at, I'll give you a better example. When I lived in Atlanta,
uh-huh.
I went to Eddie Long's church.
Oh, yeah.
For about a year and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie Long's church, if you've ever been to Soldier Field here in Chicago and had to park in any of the Soldier Field lots in the city of Chicago, you would know real quick that sometimes you got to walk a long way to get to actually get to where Soldier Field is.
Yeah.
At Eddie Long's church down in Atlanta, that's pretty much how it was.
It's a workout.
You're
walking on the treadmill.
Yeah. And when it's 95 degrees in Atlanta.
Yes, sir.
Look here, Doc. I used to not tie my tie till I got to the door to keep my shirt open so I wouldn't sweat my shirt.
I know that's right, man.
So, I mean, but again.
But then,
mm-hmm.
there are instances that you must
mm-hmm.
provide ample amount of parking.
Yeah.
I believe it. What it is, and this is going to bless some people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between street parking and a parking lot.
Yeah, there is. And one of the things, so yesterday at Greater Union, because I drove around it a couple times, because I, like I said, hadn't been in Greater Union, don't even remember what it looked like. I was in Greater Union yesterday, and I didn't know that the parking lot right next door says United Center.
Uh-huh.
But it also says, and it's real small, it says Greater Union, too.
Yep.
I didn't see that.
Yep.
So they told me that they actually have 100 parking spots allotted to them.
Wow.
That they can use.
Wow.
Even when it's an event, they have 100 parking spots that belong to them.
Wow.
So that they can use. But people, we there, but most of the folks parked on the street yesterday, but they had somebody out there to guide them, to tell them where to go.
Wow.
So you see what I'm saying? So they have people out there, and you know, and again, that's why people are so. People need to know. I you know, there's some places you go, like, I want to know where I'm going. That's why on your website, on your Facebook page, you need to know, like, what type of parking you have. When people go to restaurants, one of the biggest reasons some people don't want to go to restaurants downtown is because they don't want to pay to park.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
That's one of the biggest deterrents for some people who don't go to restaurants downtown is because they do not want to pay to park. Most people who go to restaurants downtown, they ain't driving. They're out of Ubers because they don't want to park. When they come to your church or your place of worship, they want to know where they can park their cars comfortably. And then, depending on where your church is, look, I might not want, you know, you can say, well, you can park on Fulton. Somebody going to say on Fulton where? Over there on Fulton. Where they just shot them people at?
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
I know. Now I got to be 100.
Come on.
That's one of my barriers in my church.
Yeah.
Because we have street parking. And I just found out, I believe this is Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Or yesterday,
mm-hmm.
that the lot that's around the corner
mm-hmm.
on 75th and Cottage
mm-hmm.
is belongs to New Covenant.
Oh, wow.
Pastor Thurston.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
All this time, because it's another church building next door, and it's this open lot, and I can use it,
mm-hmm.
but then the people got to walk all the way around the corner,
wow.
or if they get on fab like me, cut through the alley. But then there's some things that they might see in the alley. A dog might try to chase them or something.
Yeah.
And so that's controversial. But I make sure that if I have a guest speaker,
mm-hmm.
that he has a front parking
yeah.
spot,
yeah.
no matter what.
Yeah. That's good. Let's keep going, y'all. We're talking about the 5 fascinating lessons from a secret guest in church worship services. Number 3 says this: the children's area is a critical growth lead. The children's area is a critical growth lead. He says families will not return to your church if they perceive a room is too small, if the children's area is understaffed, or the area appears unclean and unsafe.
All right, so number 3
yeah.
is mainly, I mean, real, this for more of a mega church or a mega ministry or churches that's doing, that have the capacity. So the question I would ask is, how can smaller churches be attractive in the children's ministry area?
You don't have a youth church, right?
No.
Okay, so all your kids are in service
yeah.
while you're preaching. Yeah.
And the good part is, if it ever came to that, you have
space for it,
right?
Because you have that the banquet hall area, right?
Banquet hall area and
right.
the fellowship hall area.
Okay, so right.
Room.
Yeah.
And a lot of times,
we're back, you guys, on Blog Talk Radio. We're back. Go ahead.
A lot of times, when we look at the
mm-hmm.
spiritual church, it is critical because
mm-hmm.
some parents, when they come and worship,
mm-hmm.
They don't want to keep dealing with their kids.
No, when they go, they go.
Yeah,
they have at I know at Rock of Ages they have a wonderful youth ministry. At Reggie Royal's church they have a wonderful youth ministry.
Yeah.
And most of these churches, especially when because we're in the digital age, technology wise, you know, they give you a number for your kid or a bracelet or something.
Yeah.
And if something is going on with your kid, they just flash that number in the bottom corner of the screen, telling you, hey, go come on, get little Billy.
Yeah.
Come check out little Johnny over here.
Yeah, and when they do that, they tell you ahead of time and give you a packet.
Yeah.
That means come.
That
right
means
now.
Come now. Don't be sitting back, you know, talking about some, oh, they'll be all right.
Yeah.
No, you come get your kid, Chief.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of churches, they have areas where it's geared towards parents with kids. Like they have a crying baby.
Yeah.
You can still hear the service.
Yeah.
You go up in this room, and there's a TV up there. There's a monitor. There's speakers. You hear everything, but you're behind glass, so everybody ain't got to hear your baby. Cause,
exactly.
You know, sometimes babies just holler out. Other times, they just holler in the whole service.
Yeah, man.
You need to get up and do something.
I'm be honest with you. I have that problem a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have some little kids.
Mm-hmm.
That you would think it's a lot at times, but it ain't just one or two. It's
keeping
like
four.
And it seems like when one acts up, the other one is good and calm.
Oh, God.
And it's like, Lord. And I try to ignore it,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes it can be a distraction.
It can be.
But one of the big, and we'll move on to four, but one of the biggest element of the church's church ministry
mm-hmm.
is called safety.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's how you know you have an awesome children's church, youth church, if safety is the number one. And I know we're saying that, no, we need the Holy Spirit and all. No, safety. Safety has to be the number one.
You don't
want
to drop your kids off to a ministry where you don't have a clue who these people are.
Exactly.
You know, and we talked about this a long time ago on the show. You got a youth ministry. Just because you have children, and I'm going to say this again, just because you are classified with the title of father or mother does not mean you are qualified to work in a children's ministry. Because you might not have you may have the patience to deal with your child. That doesn't mean you got the patience to deal with other people's children.
Right.
And we got to get out of this habit of just putting people in ministry. Well, you got some kids. Oh, well, you can work in the youth ministry. No. Because if your kids get on your nerves during the week, then how you think other people's kids gonna? No, that don't work.
Yeah, that's true.
That don't work. And we really got to get out of that vein.
That's true.
Of just sticking people in ministries because they have children.
Yeah,
No.
We need to do background.
And you need, I said that too. We need to do background checks because you know, I mean, hey,
right now, and no offense,
everybody,
no offense,
huh?
There's pedophiles in the church. And, you know, they're not, to be honest,
Catholics do not own the rights to pedophilia in the church.
I know a pastor that's out of town in another state that is a registered pedophile.
Oh, he's on the register list.
And he's a pastor.
Mm-hmm. I know some in state.
Now,
in city.
Now, keep this in mind, too.
Well,
You register whether you did it or not.
If you're found guilty, you have to register.
No, even if you're not.
No.
But they still put you on the list.
If you found guilty.
No, but listen to me. Even if you're accused and fought the case and still won, you still, I know three people like that right now.
I ain't never
they didn't
that.
Get convicted. They just got accused. And they still have to be on the list. And that's the law. Yeah.
They took a plea.
Yeah. No. Trust me. It's the law.
Never heard of that.
It's the law.
Okay.
Anytime you've been accused, now, I believe in a state that you're not convicted, but you still have to register. And I think it's the craziest thing in the world.
It is.
It's reality.
It is.
What happened, this pastor, he pastored a mega church now. The kids are not allowed in the sanctuary where he's at. So he has a children's church like a block away.
Wow,
that the parents,
500 feet.
And so the parents got to drop them off
down there,
down the street, and then they come to the service.
Wow.
And he still got a mega church. Seriously.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I didn't know that. Talking with the brother, matter of fact, Cardinal,
mm-hmm.
you know what? I believe he's the one was telling us
about
it. Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, man, that's crazy.
Well, I know some here in the city of Chicago.
I do too.
In the Austin community.
I do too.
Let's move on. Number four says this. Go to number four.
The 80% rule still applies to sitting as a lid.
To what?
While,
the 80% rule applies to sitting as a lid. I said something.
Go ahead. I'm gonna let you sit on it. Go ahead.
The 80% rule still applies to sitting as a lid.
Go ahead.
The 80% rule.
I'm gonna post it for the people. You keep reading. I'm just gonna post it for the people. Man.
Wow, 80% is really while 80% is really more of a guideline than a rule, it still applies to worship sitting.
Yes.
Seating.
Yes.
For example, if your church worship center has a capacity of 300, it would probably be perceived full when 250 people are attending.
So the 80% rule still applies to seating as a lid. So I guess they're saying if your church always look crowded, folk ain't going to. If they feel like they got to fight for a seat or something,
they're not going to come.
That they might not come. You know whose church used to be like that?
Who?
Rock of Ages. The old building. When it was on 7 King, right off the expressway.
They were jam packed.
When you had, they used to put folding chairs down the center aisle. And so right next to the pew, they would put a folding chair on both sides. So the aisle that was normally this wide for you to walk down is now this wide because there's a chair. And every time, and I would hate to go to that church when my mama would go visit because we'd be stuck in the aisle because we would never get nowhere on time. But yeah.
That's how great St. John is for the second service.
Really?
Yeah. They have to put chairs down the aisle. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if they still doing it now. They still do two services, but we had three services. The 8 o'clock service was nice packed, but the 10 o'clock 10:30 was jam packed. 12:30 wasn't. It was probably 200 some people there.
Wow.
But that second service, we had an overflow, and they probably still have the overflow going on. But the chairs used to go and come, and I don't know about. Even as a preacher, I can't stand if I'm late walking up front. I feel funny.
Yeah, I
do.
I sit in the back. If you call, and depending on where you are, if they don't call me, come up there. You know, some guys come in and stand at the door.
Yeah.
And when they get escorted to a seat, if the ushers don't know they're a preacher or a pastor, they make all kind of extra movement.
Yeah.
You don't see me yet. You know,
hey,
I'll ignore you. I'm here making all that noise talking. We want to welcome Brother Sylvester.
So when I was at the conference last week, that I taught at, man, that was a little guy, and I know he watched me read my prayer. But he's a young preacher, right? And we was in the service that night, that Wednesday night. And the pastor said something. That he said, "That's deep." I said, "What the hell you mean?" I'm sitting there looking. And listen, I don't have. Now, anybody who know me, y'all know I'm ghetto fast. I am who I am. I don't have the preacher stand.
Okay.
I don't have the preacher walk.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What's the preacher
walk? When they get ready to call you up,
there's
a certain walk the preacher
okay.
too.
Okay.
Man, I'm talking about you get stiff up top.
Man.
Yeah, you get stiff and then you got to wave. Now, you know, I told you about this guy who just became a bishop. That we was at Remander's Moore installation, and he gave us a bishop move. Like, man, you ain't even, you ain't even consecrated. You was just a sign, and you gave us a bishop move. I said, oh my God, man. Listen, I don't have it, y'all.
If I come to y'all church, I'm a weeble wobble down the aisle. I'm not gonna give you no particular look. Listen, your boy, when I know I'm gonna be late, I don't put on a suit, so you can't tell me to come up front. I don't want to come up front. I don't want to be seen. I'm not that guy. I'm serious.
Right, right.
I'm not that guy. I like to just sit in the back because, believe it or not, there's some funny stuff take place in the back.
You know what the thing about sitting in the audience is? You get to hear other people. When you got to be called up front, you miss all the good stuff behind you.
You miss all the good stuff.
I like sitting in the back.
Honestly,
if it was up to me on Sunday, after I do my little job on Sunday mornings, I prefer to go to the pulpit.
Go
to the balcony.
Yeah.
I really would.
Yeah, because you see so much, man.
You really do. You really do.
So much.
Let's keep it going. Last one says this. Number five says, greeters gathered together talking to one another may be less effective than no greeters at all. He says, if the greeters are in a holy huddle, talking to one another, they give the appearance that they are cliquish and not focused on the guest. Uh-oh. Greeters in the parking lot need to spread out. There does not need to be a greeter receiving line or of handshakes at the entrance. That's good. You know what? That's a problem for me. We come to visit your church, and your people that you got out there to greet people, they in the corner, sitting in the corner of the hallway talking about the football game or the basketball game or whatever was on TV last night.
Wow.
So I walk in, don't know where the hell I'm going.
Wow.
And I'm just standing around looking stupid.
Because
I don't know which way to go. Because the people who's supposed to be downstairs to open the door or wherever however your people enter into your place of worship, they too busy having a conversation somewhere in the corner and don't even and you know, or you get the ones who, you know, they pick and choose who they want to open the door
for. Wow. Wow.
I can't,
wow.
Yeah, that's a little much for me. And I've seen that happen quite often, where people are supposed to be greeters, and they too busy talking, running their mouth, and instead of greeting you at the door, you done walked on in. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, and again, there are some churches that do it very well.
Yeah,
they do it very well.
Definitely,
yeah.
Definitely. You know, there are some people. I don't know what, if you want to call it, this is their click time or just. If they're, if we call it huddle,
they having their own fellowship hour.
Yeah. They passing around the candy band.
Right.
I got the butterscotch today. You got the peppermint.
You got your people too, huh?
Oh, you know, now I seen it. I don't have them. Step grandmother's funeral at Mount Calvary.
Okay.
That's an old mother.
Mm-hmm.
This mother, 80 something.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's getting happy, man, I was forgetting to get on this tape without I hit lightning thundering, y'all.
Wow.
And she run around the church.
Uh-huh.
The spirit was high.
Uh-huh.
And I started to run with him.
Uh-huh.
But the way my life was set up, I said, I'll just catch you at the end. And so after she ran, she pulled out her plastic bag with candy.
Wow.
And came in the pulpit, sharing it with the whole choir, everybody.
No.
And Pastor didn't say that, because I guess this is a normal.
Oh, no.
It made me feel like the old-time church. Like, she had a plastic bag with her butterscotch.
You know, it was one or two brothers in the church that had some peppermints and that other orange-looking candy. And that was it. Now you got people coming to church with full-fledged smorgasbords in their bag, and half of them ain't even got, you know, some of them got kids and all, but half these folk ain't even got kids. I've seen some people get up out the choir stand.
Wow.
During a song, pray for me, to go get some candy that somebody had in the church. Yeah, a mess. A hot mess. Y'all pray for the people. Anyway, yeah, y'all, we're about to get a storm.
Man, this morning, it was storming by me. I don't know.
Really?
What?
Look, I woke up at 2 o'clock this morning with a headache from hell. I took as much medication as I could to go back to sleep.
Man, listen, it was storming to hell by my house, man. I couldn't believe it. Like, man, it was coming down. And then when I really got up and seen the sunshine, I was like, maybe it was a dream.
Oh, wow.
Man, listen here. It's dark out here, man.
It just got like pitch black over here.
Lord.
The writer closes this out with this. He says, keep in mind that guests are often uncomfortable and uncertain when they first visit your church. Many of them are not believers. Atkinson's book provides great lessons and pointed reminders of how we in our churches can better practice the ministry of hospitality.
Yeah.
That's good.
And I think more churches need to ask themselves, what are you giving your first-time visitors something to take home with them?
Mm-hmm. But you can have a great gift, but if the people weren't hospitable when you walked in the door, that gift is useless.
And that's what I mean.
We have a hospitality group here that handles the first time visiting, because we ask the question of who's visiting, and then we ask, are you first time, and tell them to raise their hand. They get a little gift bag. You just got like a pen, a pad, or something to write stuff on. I forget what else is in their calendar. I'm not sure. It's been a while since I looked in that bag, but they have that. But that's all for naught if when they walked in the door downstairs, somebody else either ignored them or said nothing to them, or they heard somebody, you know, I've seen this happen before. I've seen this happen too, where you've been somewhere as a guest,
mm-hmm.
and you hear people in the church who are not guests, you know, they members,
mm-hmm.
talking bad about folks in the church.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a guest.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm a guest. So it's like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm a guest, and I see y'all being messy.
Yeah.
Or I hear y'all being messy.
Yeah.
So what you think me as a guest here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be quiet on that.
It happens so.
It happens too frequently.
Yeah, it's
too frequently. Because you never know, like this writer says, you never know who the secret guest is.
I'm gonna say this.
Yeah.
I got a newer member. She was approached
mm-hmm.
by several guys.
Oh wow. Okay.
I mean, you know.
Okay.
She's
guys in the church trying to holler.
Oh yes, yes.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, she's nice looking.
Okay.
And she shared with me
okay.
some of the things that the guy said, and one of the guys said that. You know, the only reason why I come is a pretty face. I said, oh, wow. One of the guys said, she told the guy that she got somebody, but then
mm-hmm.
I guess the other guy said,
it didn't matter.
It didn't
matter. Right. Uh-huh.
You know, everybody have
Yeah.
And you know, I laughed and I said, okay, well, I thank God you're still here. If she was weak,
uh-huh.
If she was weak or something
yeah.
that wasn't,
mm-hmm. she might leave.
She might leave.
Yeah, you have to be so careful, man, about who, you know. Anytime you get a visitor, you know, it's kind of like I remember when I was managing. Tanya Williams want to know how does she dress? Why? Why is that important?
She dressed nice. Now, seriously, I mean,
right. But I remember this. When I'll give you a very good example. So when the company I used to work for, you know, it's call center customer service environment. In most call centers, customer service is mostly women.
Most definitely.
It's mostly women. That's just the nature of the beast. So the majority of them. So anytime we would do hiring. They would always ask when we were doing interviews, they'd be like, Dana, where the guys at?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd tell them, I'd say, ain't no dudes applying for these jobs,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I remember when I first hired some guys for the job, man, it was like a meat market.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like a meat market.
Yeah, I can believe that.
So you got to imagine in church.
Yeah.
In church, when the guy, just like Friday,
uh-huh.
when Devon walked his behind in here on Friday. just like when Devon walked in here on Friday and sat in that seat, you know, folk kind of lost their mind over here in this chat room.
Man,
you know,
I'm to this, man. even as being a leader,
right?
And even me, single,
uh-huh.
I know that some people come because of me,
mm-hmm.
Because they want to get close to me and all that. And I think that's one of the reasons why.
And so you the pastor, huh?
I'm keeping it funny.
You the pastor.
I believe that's one of the reasons why I'm single and I have not gotten to the point of saying, okay, you're the one or
right.
you this, you that.
Right, right, right.
Because, you know, when that happened, it's going to start a vacancy going to take place.
Nah.
No, please. They're going to vacate.
Really?
Anytime a pastor that's single get married or get engaged,
uh-huh.
people start leaving because they didn't get chose or picked.
And I'm being honest, and it might sound crazy.
Let me say this real quick to any of these people. Y'all dumb as hell.
I'm serious. and honestly, it's to the point that it's disturbing.
It should be.
It's disturbing because you want people to accept you for you
uh-huh.
without no type of motive or any. If I'm single
uh-huh.
and I'm looking, searching for my wife,
mm-hmm.
The worst thing you can possibly do is try to come in cahoots with other women, try to be nosy and try to figure
out. But if you've never. Okay. But real talk. If you've never given the impression that any of these people in the congregation got a shot, then they ain't got nothing. They shouldn't be mad when you make a decision.
And I'll be honest with you, sometimes conversation can lead a person to think that it's more than what it really is.
Well, okay.
I'm serious. I'm serious.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's just if y'all leaving churches because you can't have somebody or something like that, you stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know no better way to say it. Y'all pray for me, but I'm just saying. Yeah.
They would say, well, we didn't leave God. We just left your church.
Okay, okay. Well, then you know what? Then you wasn't there for the right reasons in the first place. I mean, you know, come on now. I mean, that's just like, I wonder how many people go to, what's the bishop's name? Bishop Noel Jones. Now, you know, he's single. Bishop, he's single. Now, he was dating a young lady that for years at his church. Now, I don't know if they got married yet. I haven't watched. I don't even know if Priest of L.A. still comes on anymore. But he was single for a while, and it was controversy because he was single and he was dating. There were a lot of people who had issue with the fact that he was single, and he was dating one woman now, but they had an issue with the fact that he was single and dating.
Yeah.
But Barbara Sapp talked about this because he's single because his wife passed away.
Mm.
He's single, and they were asking, so people were saying they wanted to see, you know, what does Christian dating look like? And maybe that's part of the problem is that we don't ever actually address, we've never actually addressed Christian dating in the church. It's not something that we've actually let people see what that looks like. And so people, and that's why you have so many people jumping into bad marriages.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you have people standing up saying, y'all need to get married.
Yeah.
Y'all need to get married. And then you got a bunch of unhappy people walking around in marriages that they should have never been in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Look, y'all, what time is it? It's time to go.
Yeah,
it's about that time. It's about that time. What you got going on the rest of the day, man, other than this storm that's going on right now?
And my baby on spring break.
Okay, okay. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I'm going to spend some time with her.
Okay, that's good.
I mean, based on this storm, we have a softball game tonight. But
here you go. Now, but the thing, the crazy part is, it's on turf. So, little rain don't stop the softball game on turf.
Let me say this again to the pastor over here with the injured groin. Wet turf and torn groin muscle do not go together.
It don't.
Now, when he come back in here on Wednesday, or if he ain't here Wednesday, y'all know why.
Yeah.
Because he went out there trying to be Barry Bonds. So we're going to let it go. Anyway, man, look, it's been a great show, man. Once again, man, look, thank you to everybody who came out to Grady Union on yesterday. Big shout out to all of y'all. It was a great time, man, especially to those of you from my Kingdom family. And I forgot to mention those of you from my former employer who came out. I appreciate y'all as well, man. It was an awesome, awesome time. Thank y'all so much, man. But Pastor Parks, pray us out, man. Let us
Father
go home.
Father Heaven, we thank you and honor you, God, for this day. God, we pray that you continue to embed us with your spirit.
Yes.
God, even the weather that's taking place, we pray for those that's driving, those that's walking,
yes.
God, that you protect them in the name of Jesus. God of God, we thank you that you allow both of us to pour into your people yesterday, God, through the aid of your Holy Spirit. Now, Father, we pray that double blessings will fall upon us and our lives, God, as we continue to do your will and do your way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, we got to go. If you got to drive up and down these streets of Chicago, wherever you might live, keep your head on a swivel. TTLO, we out.